And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, These Children, was written by Erwin Gonchak.
These children are strange, troubled, hard to understand, pathetic boys and girls. And if I do speak of miracles, it is only in the sense that a time comes when we learn to see them as they are. So unfortunately, neither the children nor the miracles are of such a nature that we are apt to pay much attention to them. In fact, often these children are not heard at all or seen. And then I believe it is more than a personal tragedy. It is ours, too, in many ways. I myself was not aware of them until only a few years ago. I'd been appointed principal of a Hebrew day school in New York when a mother appeared in the office.
My son's name is Jonathan, Rabbi Mazes, and I want to register him at the school.
Mm-hmm. How old is the boy, Mrs. Rubin?
11 years old, Rabbi. Only 11 years old.
And you say he has not had previous Hebrew school training?
No. Rabbi, you know how important it is for a boy to learn, to know his heritage.
Of course, Mrs. Rubin.
Well, maybe, Rabbi, you can give Jonathan some special training to catch up. It's not too late. As a mother, Rabbi, as a mother, I want my boy to find joy and sweetness in learning. His grandfather, may he rest in peace, his grandfather was a great Talmudic scholar in Poland.
I'm sure we'll be able to work something out with a bright, conscientious boy and an accelerated program.
Rabbi, my boy, how can I explain it to you? No one seems to understand. He's not a bright boy.
Mrs. Rubin, at his present school, what grade is he in?
Well, he doesn't go to school. They wouldn't take him. They said he couldn't learn. But they don't know him. I'm his mother. I know him.
Yes, Mrs. Rubin.
He learns slowly, but he will learn. You can teach him. Tell him, Rabbi. Tell him that he carries a great blessing in him. Rabbi, help my son. Please help my son.
I should have told you about Mrs. Rubin and her son, Rabbi Mazes.
Yes, Miss Samuels.
She comes around every year, to this school, to the other schools in the neighborhood, especially when there's a new principal at the school. And she tries to get the boy registered. What did she tell you about him?
Just that he was slow.
Slow? Rabbi, the boy's now, what, 11? But I don't think his mental age can be more than 5 or 6. And yet Mrs. Rubin keeps coming back, even though she hears the same thing every time.
What does she hear, Miss Samuels?
That nothing can be done for the child. That the school is not equipped for children like hers. It's sad, Rabbi. She never gives up.
Jonathan, say hello to Rabbi Mazes.
Good morning, Jonathan.
Jonathan, say hello. Say hello to the rabbi.
Afraid. Afraid, Mama. Afraid man.
Oh, Jonathan, you don't have to be afraid of the rabbi. He's going to help you. Johnny, my baby, talk to the rabbi. Tell him you want to go to school like the other children.
Afraid, Mama. Afraid. Home, Mama, home.
Jonathan, home. We came to see the rabbi.
Home, Mama, home.
You see, he's bashful. He doesn't talk much to people he doesn't know, but once he knows you, he'll talk to you. He will. Well, sometimes he talks so much.
Mrs. Rubin, this is hard for me to tell you.
Jonathan, talk to the rabbi. Tell him your name. Tell him where you live.
Yeah.
Please, Johnny, please.
Mrs. Rubin.
Count, Johnny, count. One, two, three. Johnny, count. You can count.
Mrs. Rubin, I'd like to help, but at this school, what can we do?
Please, Rabbi, my son, teach him.
But we have no facilities for him, no teachers trained
Fred,
to instruct him.
Mom, afraid. Go home. Johnny, go home.
Oh, come here, my baby. No, Mama's here. No, you don't have to cry. What should I do, Rabbi? Hide him? Draw the blinds? So no one will know that I have this child? So no one will laugh at him? Or give pity to his mother?
I had no answer for this mother. But I promised to inquire throughout the area to learn what provision was being made for the education of these children. And I found what I suppose I had expected to find.
Another letter concerning your inquiry, Rabbi Mazes. I'm afraid it's the same as the others. Sorry, no program for retarded children. Yes, something should be done. Sincerely yours.
And the few schools which accept these children have long waiting lists, no more room.
Yes, Rabbi.
Miss Samuels, why is it like this? Our hearts cry out for all the misery, the injustice in the world, and we try to help in so many ways. And yet when it comes to this, to Mrs. Rubin's boy, it's almost as if we shut our eyes, as if we hope by not looking, this mother and her child will go away.
Rabbi Mazes, I agree with you. I sympathize with what you say.
Sir, as chairman of the board, you can convince the other members.
But, Rabbi, how can we do it?
All I ask is one room in the school for these children. One room.
It's a matter of priority. Finances are limited. First, we must concentrate on those students who can contribute most to society. And then we...
Yes, and then... Perhaps, sir, our society is too concerned with the producing values of individuals and not enough with human values.
Rabbi, tell me, what do you know about these children? What do you know about their problems?
Oh, very little, but I do know they need help.
But you see, you don't know these children, and yet, Rabbi, you think you can help them. Maybe with all your good intentions, you'll do them more harm than good.
Sir, we could engage a teacher who is a specialist in this field, who will know how to teach these children.
Rabbi, let me give you a frank answer. It would be nice to do something for these unfortunate children, but...
But what, sir?
We must consider the other parents. I know they wouldn't like it. Many would probably withdraw their own children.
But why? What reason would they have?
Well, why don't you speak to them and find out for yourself?
Yes, I've heard a little about these children. It's a pity, I know, but they are diseased. I mean, Rabbi, they do have something other children can catch.
No, I don't think that's so.
I'm sure many of them are wild ones. I remember reading this somewhere. They actually attacked the other children.
Now, where did you read this?
Please, Rabbi, be realistic. You know there's a certain stigma attached to these children, that parents with normal sons and daughters just don't want them to associate with these children.
If that is so, then I'll guarantee that they'll remain in their room all the time.
How do you know these children won't escape?
Madam, are we talking about wild animals?
Do you know? Rabbi, I just don't want to take the risk with my children to find out.
Nothing I said could persuade this parent or the other parents to my point of view. But were they to blame? For centuries, we have placed great emphasis on mental alertness. We've nourished the scholar, cherished him. For the Jewish family, What greater joy than to help the Talmudic student? But with these other children, it's been different. Perhaps we're ashamed to admit that our people who can produce a Maimonides, an Einstein, can also produce a child with half a mind who walks in darkness.
Rabbi Mazes, please, please tell me. Have you found a school for my child?
Mrs. Rubin, I'm sorry.
Why does God let this happen to little children? Why?
Mrs. Rubin.
I know what you're going to say. I've read all about the meaning of suffering, but it still doesn't help my son.
Yes.
Do you know what my husband did to Jonathan last night? He hit him across the face. He yelled at him. He called him stupid, lazy, a disgrace, a curse on the family. Rabbi, my husband is a good man. I know he's a good man.
I'm sure he is, Mrs. Rubin.
Rabbi, do you understand? We had so much hope for this child. Plans, dreams. Our only child. When the doctor told us he'd never be normal, I didn't believe him. I still don't believe him.
Mrs. Rubin, I can understand your feelings.
I went from clinic to clinic looking for a doctor who'd give us some hope, a cure. We're not rich people, Rabbi Mazes. We spent all our savings, but we never stopped looking. Till I had no strength left. Till I became a sick woman. Till I felt like killing myself and my baby. But finally we went home. And we drew the blinds. And we go nowhere. And no one visits us. We took our baby in the house and we hid him. Rabbi, I've gone over my whole life. Why did I have a child like this? Have I sinned against God? Is this my punishment?
No, Mrs. Rubin, no, this isn't God's punishment. He's a just and loving God.
Then, Rabbi, will a miracle occur? Will a day come when Johnny will be like the other children and I'll be like the other mothers? Rabbi, I pray every day that a miracle will happen to my child.
When Mrs. Rubin left, the thought of her child remained with me. I could see the blinds being drawn around this child and all the other children like him. So I decided to do what I knew all along I had to do.
Rabbi, do you know what this type of school entails?
That's why I've come to you, Mr. Siskin, to find out.
Well, you'll need a special curriculum, trained teachers, school psychologists, speech therapists, remedial teachers, a building with special facilities, workshops, provision to counsel the parents as well as the children. A school for the retarded is an extremely difficult undertaking.
Yes, by now I was growing aware of this fact. But I also knew that the Lord would show favor on any attempt to help these children. First, the young teacher of retarded children, Herschel Siskin, agreed to join me. Then Rabbi Nahum Shulman, spiritual leader of the Jewish community in Middle Village, Queens, offered his services and obtained the use of his Hebrew school to house the new institute. Others also responded. And shortly, we were able to open the Maimonides Institute for Retarded Children. Now, finally, I thought, we could do something tangible to help these children. But the doing was much harder than I anticipated. For there is still always the mother with a lifetime of unfulfilled dreams, and the child with but limited abilities.
Jonathan, now watch me again. First, to tie your shoes, you take this lace in this hand.
In this hand.
You're a big boy now, and big boys tie their own shoelaces.
Own shoelaces.
Now, Johnny, hold this lace in the other hand.
In the other hand.
Mr. Siskin, why does Jonathan keep repeating your last words?
Well, it's common for this type of retardation. He feels more secure by identifying himself as an adult. But when he grows more confident of himself, he'll do it less.
And the shoe, will he be able to tie it?
No.
You see what he's doing now?
No.
He seems to be fascinated by the tip of the shoelace.
Yes, he fails to see the wholeness of the act in tying a shoe. He sees only the tip of the shoelace.
Mr. Siskin,
Yes, Johnny?
Can't do it. Johnny can't do it.
Oh, that's all right, Johnny. Tomorrow, we'll try again, okay?
Okay.
And soon, Johnny, you'll learn to do it.
Do it, Rabbi.
You will, Johnny, tomorrow.
Do it, Rabbi. See? Tomorrow, I'll do it. Johnny, do it. Tomorrow, I'll do it. Johnny, do it.
These poor children of God. But there is hope.
Remember, Rabbi, this child, the others, will never become normally functioning individuals, but they can be taught to read and write on a primary level, to develop social ease, to work in a sheltered environment. All very important goals.
Oh, yes. For me, that is hope.
But, Rabbi, please, don't expect miracles to be worked on them. No miracles.
Mazes, I feel at last, after all these years, my prayers are going to be answered.
Mrs. Reuben, I hope your prayers are realistic.
What do you mean, Rabbi, realistic?
The teachers are working with your boy, but you must remember that Jonathan has severe mental deficiencies.
His grandfather, Rabbi. His grandfather was a scholar. His grandfather is part of this boy. I must believe this. The memory of my father lives in this boy. The same eyes, the same mouth.
Yes, yes, Mrs. Reuben.
I must believe
Mrs.
this.
Reuben... The boy has many fine traits. His affection, his kindness. Be grateful for them. Help us to develop them further in your boy. We can build on this foundation, but... Mrs. Reuben, accept his mental limitations.
Why do you ask me to do this, Rabbi? Why?
Because it will be better for you and the boy.
No. No, I can't do this. One day he'll learn as other children do.
Mrs. Reuben, why torture yourself?
Now you ask me to give up all hope. Maybe I was better off without a school for him.
I don't ask you to give up hope. I ask you to accept your son as he is, with all his limitations.
No, Rabbi. If I felt that this boy would never become normal, then I might give up entirely and do nothing for him. Johnny, here. Take the book in your hand.
Yes.
It's a beautiful book, Johnny. It belonged to your grandfather.
Grandfather. Grandfather book.
Now, turn the page, Johnny. Here, like Mama does. See?
Page, Mama, page.
Now, do you see the words, Johnny? They tell a wonderful story. Read, Johnny. Read a word for Mama.
Read a word. For Mama, a word.
Here, Johnny, here. This word.
D, Mama. D, D.
No, Johnny, that's a letter. The word, Johnny.
D, Mama. D, D.
No, Johnny, the word. The word.
No read, Mama. No read.
Johnny, you must learn to read now. That's why you're going to school, so you can gain knowledge and wisdom from books. Johnny, I've waited so long. Johnny, please read this word.
No read, Mama. Don't read, Mama.
Oh, Johnny, my boy, I don't want to make you cry, but when, Johnny? When?
It is, I suppose, to ask the impossible of a mother to replace her vision of a child whose grandfather was a scholar with a child who will always struggle to tie a shoe, cut a piece of paper, read a simple word. But for human growth, there must be new beginnings, new insights for the mother, for the boy. And so a day did come. When and how, I can only guess. Perhaps it began the day Rabbi Shulman told the story of Tu B'Shvat, the new year of trees, to the children.
Shh. Quiet, children. Quiet. Children, today the sun is warm and bright. Birds are singing from the rooftops. Everyone is happy. It is spring.
And on this day, the trees in Israel have a birthday, like you have, to celebrate their new year. The children dance and sing and rejoice. And they take small trees to the field and plant them in the ground. Then, in the days to come, the sun shines and the trees grow taller. The rain falls and the trees grow taller and taller. And some grow as tall as the...
Rabbi Shulman, Rabbi.
Yes, Jonathan?
Rabbi, more trees.
Well, today, Johnny, we're going to plant a small tree. Then you'll be able to see it grow yourself.
Rabbi, tree grows, Rabbi.
Yes, Johnny. Because God and people are good to them, the trees grow.
Rabbi, the trees grow. The tree grows.
And on that day, after seeing the small tree planted, the boy rubbed his fingers in paint and moved them awkwardly across a sheet of drawing paper and kept repeating the words.
The tree grows.
Jonathan, may I look at your picture?
See, Rabbi? See?
Yes. It's a fine picture.
Rabbi, see? The tree grows.
The Talmud says we are to find miracles happening daily in the most commonplace, as full of wonder and mystery as the sea dividing and the sun and moon standing still. So with these children, a day comes when a child who has lived in shadows receives pleasure from a crude painting of a tree. And from somewhere within the boy comes the picture of a tree growing that changes a mother's tears of sorrow.
Mama?
Yes, Jonathan.
Mama, picture.
Oh, a pretty picture, my son.
See, Mama? His fingers. Johnny's fingers, picture.
Yes, well, we'll clean the paint off your fingers.
No, Mama, no fingers. Picture for Mama.
Oh, John, thank you. My son.
Mama, no cry. See? See? The tree grows. Tree grows, Mama.
Yes, Johnny, the tree grows. Little by little. Slowly.
Slowly, Mama. Tree grows slowly.
Oh, Johnny, this tree will never reach the sky. But it grows, Johnny.
Tree grows.
Like my little boy grows. My dear little boy. My dear little boy.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Dr. Leon Charney, Educational Consultant of the National Association for Retarded Children. Dr. Charney.
The program which you have just heard has vividly highlighted the unnecessary suffering which can result from the failure of your community or mine to provide the specialized services so desperately needed by the mentally retarded and their families. As the largest permanently handicapping condition, mental retardation directly affects an estimated 5 million children and adults in the United States. No respecter of race or religion. Mental retardation strikes 120,000 children born each year. Children of all religious and racial origins. The mass of evidence indicates that the overwhelming majority of the mentally retarded can and do profit from specialized services designed to enable them to achieve to their maximum. The provision of these services is not the responsibility of any single agency, but is rather a community problem, calling for the development of a comprehensive program of public and volunteer services to the retarded and their families. Much has been achieved in the past decade, but much more remains to be done. The expansion of diagnostic services, of educational, recreational, and rehabilitation programs are but a few of the pressing needs. The time has passed for the relegation of these children to the realm of darkness created by indifference and fear. The retarded child confronts us as a challenge. In meeting this challenge, we shall truly implement the democratic concept that the national welfare is benefited when every individual is enabled to achieve to his maximum potential.
Thank you, Dr. Charney. Eternal Light drama today, These Children, was written by Erwin Gonshack. Cantor David Pretterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Norman Rose as Rabbi Mazes, Bryna Rayburn as Mrs. Rubin, and Sarah Fussell as Jonathan. Others in the cast were Abby Lewis, Marion Carr, Harvey Hayes, Merrill Joels, and Roger DeCoven. This is Vic Robey. Our program was directed by George Voutsas. Portions of the program were pre-recorded. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.